You found the first and currently the only podcast on the Digital Media Zone Network. Today's Thursday, April 30th, and this is episode 28 of Entertainment 2.0.
And once again, welcome back. This is episode 28 of Entertainment 2.0. And you know, Josh, we talk every week about the intro and everything. And I still, for the life of me, cannot figure out why I say at the beginning of every show, welcome back to Entertainment 2.0. Because we weren't on
I always
commercial.
Did that on my podcast too.
Really? Because we weren't
it's
on
It's polite.
Is it?
Sure.
Okay. Maybe that's why I'm doing it. I don't know. I feel like when I say it that people are like, well, we weren't, you know, it wasn't a commercial. So, you know, that's
it was just a break from us.
Yeah, a 1 week break.
Very exactly.
Good. So good. So how are you this week, sir?
I have very mixed feelings today. Normally I just say great. I know you want to hear about my hockey team. They won, so they're moving on to the second round, and that's all I'm going to say about hockey.
Very good.
The reason that I have mixed feelings is I was all excited because last Friday I ordered new computer parts to upgrade my media center PC and was all excited to get everything in, build it, throw Windows 7 on there, and be ready to talk about it tonight. And I'm still waiting on the processor. So hopefully next week I'll have all those parts, or hopefully well before next week's show.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that next week.
But, now you ordered from Newegg, right? Except for the processor, you ordered from Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. Why'd you go to Amazon for the processor? Price?
The price was actually almost exactly the same as Newegg. The only reason I bought it from Amazon was I had a $20 gift card to Amazon as a birthday present from my sister-in-law. Thank you. So I figured I might as well use this, save myself a little bit of money. And then the problem was that I cheaped out and went with the free shipping. If I would have paid the $6 for shipping, I'd probably have it by now, yep. I would guess.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm still waiting for my netbook keyboard to arrive from China. So, you know, and it's been, a week and, going on 2 weeks now, which they said it could be 14 days. So
it's on the proverbial slow boat from China.
I guess, yeah, it must be coming by boat. I don't know. They said United States Parcel Service, you know, post office. So I would hope it's not on a ship, but I guess you never know with those.
Maybe Somali pirates have your keyboard.
You can't talk about up-to-date news because it makes me think of South Park because those guys are really up to date and they did an episode on the pirates. So,
well, I would avoid the next episode if it's on the swine flu at all costs.
Well, that's probably what it's going to be on. I have almost no doubt in my mind that's exactly what will happen. So. But yeah, I'm happy because I'm kind of happy today because this is the first episode of season where I'm sitting outside to record. So I'm really happy. In fact, people maybe can hear the siren in the background. So,
but that's the tornado siren. Adam is about to be whisked off to Oz.
No, not in upstate New York, my friend, not up here. No tornadoes, just ice and cold. It's going to be below freezing tonight again. So
yikes.
Yeah, it's fun. Yet it was in the 80s 3 days ago, so figure that out. But we are back for another episode. This is, again, episode 28, and a good little bit of stuff on the agenda for tonight. So pretty happy.
I'm really excited about this week's show. Like, I always love recording the show, but there was one in particular topic that I really wanted to talk about. And then yesterday on Twitter, a huge conversation got started, and that expanded into kind of a big news story right at the end of the day today. So I'm really excited to talk about these things today. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the first thing I think we ought to talk about is to remind people again, we are now located at thedigitalmediazone.com. That's the new site. I'm excited about this site more than anything, but Also, because today, we might as well go, we have two other Media Center users who are going to be contributing to the site regularly. Josh Schenkel, who is, people know him as UMDivix on Twitter. And also Pete Stagman is going to be contributing from time to time on the site. So, you know, we're going to be having a lot more diversity, I guess, throughout the site. And again, Entertainment 2.0 will always be Media Center. But if you're looking for anything else, that is definitely the place to go. So,
and might as well throw it out there now. You know, if you're into anything digital media and you were looking for a place to blog or a place to podcast, send us an email. You can email info@thedigitalmediazone.com or find us on Twitter, send us a direct message, whatever. And let's talk and let's get you on the site with us.
Absolutely.
The more the merrier.
Yeah, I think the diversity is going to really help make it a lot. So, and that's what I'm waiting on, especially get more shows started. So we'll see if we can make that happen. But I was also, again, I think this has been a pretty good week for the site and for the show as well, because for the first time this week, we had a listener post to the Entertainment 2.0 drop at drop.io/enter20. Did you have a chance to take a look at this, Josh?
Ah, crap. You know what? I didn't. Totally forgot.
Yeah, well, this is Greg from York over in the United Kingdom. He posted up a picture, and there go my neighbors again. Unbelievable. He posted up a picture of an HTPC. He built one for his parents. And he put a little write-up up there, and I'm going to share it in the show notes, so I'm not going to read the whole thing now. I'll let people read it in the notes. But basically, what really interested me about this is, and I want to search for this case, because he said he used an HFX Micro, and basically the whole case is one giant heat sink. And the CPU and the GPU are both connected via heat pipes to the case, so there's no fans.
Huh.
Said the only thing he can only hear it when he puts his ear up to the case. He can sometimes hear the hard drive spinning. That's it. So I kind of I kind of want to find that. And the hard drive, he said, sits in a rubber sleeve, so that's even better. So,
and this case actually looks pretty sweet.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, it's a nice looking case and everything. So I actually want to find out about this, because that to me is pretty interesting. No fans. I mean, you want to talk about perfect for inside the living room there. So, but yeah, he put this together for his parents, and best thing he said was he installed LogMeIn remote access, so that if something goes wrong, you know, he's a couple hours away, but he can take a look at it. And basically that his mother doesn't even, she basically refuses to use a computer, but she's using one to watch television and doesn't, you know, kind of doesn't realize it. So I thought that was great. And so I wanted to share that with everybody. And again, thanks Greg for posting it. We're going to put the picture, we'll put the picture and the message that Greg sent in the show notes. And to anybody else, drop.io/enter20. And you can leave pictures of your setup, a write-up, anything you want to leave, video, leave us a voicemail even. You can call in to a U.S. phone number and leave us a voicemail, and we'd appreciate it. So, but thanks again, Greg.
Yeah, and Greg, send us an email or something, info@thedigitalmediazone.com, and tell us where we can get this case.
Yeah, because I'm really
interested. I hope it's not only available in the U.K.
Yeah, that would make me upset. Although we just make Ian or somebody send us one, so we could do that. They'd do it, I'm pretty sure. So very good. What do we have next on tonight's agenda?
That is a good question, because I started Googling for that case.
So did I.
What we have next is TVFool.com as an alternative to finding all of the information you possibly can and then some about over-the-air HDTV.
Yeah, I had found, well, that's why I posted about this, because I had found this site probably, I want to say almost a year ago, when I started wanting to get away from cable and just switch over to over-the-air, because that's where most of our programming is. And people had pointed me towards AntennaWeb, and AntennaWeb's a good site, gives you some information. But for me, every time I went to AntennaWeb, no matter what I entered, it told me, you're not getting any channels. Even though I had, at the time, now hold on now, calm down. At the time I had been told, yes, you can pick up channels here with the right antenna. So I started searching around, and I found this site, TVFool, FOOL.com. I had found this site, used it. This takes Antenna Web to a new level. I had lost it and then recently refound it again. I couldn't remember the URL, and then I just went searching again and was able to find it. But with TV Fool, you're not just getting a list of the stations and maybe a little map. This site really provides its topographical maps, gives you a full list of the channels you should be able to receive and how difficult it's going to be able for how difficult it will be for you to receive them. As well, it'll show you a side shot of the topography to give you an idea of signal strength as well, which I thought was really useful. But it gives you the azimuth to the towers, the distance, the channels, the virtual channels, everything. I mean, it's got everything on there. So that's why I wanted to share it with people. If anybody's looking to switch to free TV, free high definition, that's the way to do it, at least here in the U.S. So it's a good resource. To see exactly what you're going to get.
It's a cool site. The topography thing is cool. At first I checked it out and I'm like, it's not showing me anything. And then you showed me yours. And then I went back to mine and I'm like, oh, I live in Ohio. It's flat. There's nothing to show on the topography.
Yeah, exactly. Because that side shot we'll put the mountains, you know, we'll put the terrain in the way and show you what the signal's doing. So, you know, by looking at mine, I know why now I can't get anything. It's because the transmitters are all on the other side of a mountain range, and the digital signal is not as strong as the analog, and it can't push over and then drop back down behind those mountains. Especially considering most of them up here are shooting line of sight, as opposed to like a zone one or a zone two that sometimes it'll work. So I'm stuck with cable, so whatever.
Boo.
I know. I'm not happy, believe me. I won't pay them anymore.
Oh, I know. I was on Instant Messenger with you that morning.
Yeah, I was not happy. But speaking of content, last week we talked about VMC Playit, which uses the Play On Media server. And I found this week, through the creator of VMC Playit, who we're hoping to speak with soon, you can actually add more content. And if these guys add enough content, if these the guys that are doing this add enough content, then I won't need cable or anything else for that matter. So you haven't used this yet, have you?
No, but the very first network that you mention here definitely makes me want to.
Really?
You listed a few of the channels that they're adding here, and one of them is Food Network. Now, I don't care about Food Network at all, but my wife loves that channel.
Mm-hmm.
And when we've talked about canceling cable, that's one of the big ones that she's like, well, how am I going to get my Food Network shows?
Yeah.
And I say, well, let me look at Amazon Unbox and other things like that. And it's not on any of those things, but it is here.
Yeah. What shows does she watch? Cause I perused it a little bit, but I don't, you know, I know they have Iron Chef America.
She mostly watches that, and there's a show called Chopped, and she really loves Next Food Network Star, which is a reality show that's probably not on right now, so it might not be in there. And she'll watch Rachel Ray occasionally.
Okay.
But it's mostly those shows.
No, I'll have to take a look for you and see exactly what's showing up. But yeah, Food Network, ABC News was another one.
What about Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Don't know.
She loves that show.
Don't know. I have to look for you. I can't remember off the top of my head. yeah, sorry.
Jen will be so disappointed.
I know. I'm very sorry, but
you should know these
memorize
things.
Well, I didn't memorize Food Network. I added
your
it
mail.
I wanted to check.
You're supposed to read your wife's mind and mine.
Well, see that, you know, I'll be honest. There are three reasons we have cable. Three reasons, and that's it.
FX.
FX I can get somewhere else. In fact, FX shows I can get up through Hulu, through VMC Playit, because it's a Fox-owned network. No, ABC for her General Hospital. ABC for her, was it Super Nanny? And Wife Swap. Those are all ABC shows, and I have no way to grab them into Media Center. So that's why we still have cable. That's it. That's all.
Hmm.
My shows, I can get my shows anywhere else. I'll watch now, whatever. So.
Oh, crap. I was just about to make you feel really bad. I was going to say, but ABC's a network, and you can get that over the air.
Yeah, thanks. You make me feel good about myself. You really do. You just have a way, don't you? But anyway, with the way to add these to VMC Play It, actually, you're not adding them to VMC Play It. You're adding them to Play On. These are plugins that are written by individuals at playonplugins.com. And these guys have put together a bunch of them. There's a general podcast plugin, which gave me a bunch of stuff like ABC News. I'm trying to remember what else it added. But basically what it comes down to is if the plugin is there, like this podcasting plugin, if the plugin's there, all you need is the OPML file to get the content. So if you know how to write, which I don't know how to write them, I know that my feed reader uses them, so I could probably back it up from that and maybe drop it into the folder. But basically, if you know how to write an OPML file for an RSS feed, you can drop it into this podcasting folder within the plugin, and you'll get that content into VMC Play It. So that's one, you know, the one plugin is for podcasting in general. But these guys have gone out of their way. Again, I added Food Network. I added Adult Swim shows. Someone wrote one for Leo Laporte's Twit Network shows, for the PC Mag shows, like Cranky Geeks and DLTV. So there's a good number on there. Good number of plugins, and it seems people are adding them regularly. So,
and this is not free, correct?
Well, the Play On Media Server is not free. It's $40, or you can do what I did, get the trial, and they'll probably send you an email telling you they'll take $5 off. So I got it for $35. VMC Play It is free and actually has recently been updated. I haven't installed the new update because I'm waiting for the release candidate. I'm just going to do everything at once on the 5th or 6th. But there is a new version of VMC Play It out, which is free. So yeah, you're looking at $35, $40 for Play On. After that, you're getting your content for free though.
Yeah, that's great.
So, and this,
I mean, that's less than 1 month of cable for most people.
Yep, I know it is for me. That's Netflix. You know, what's already there is Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Video On Demand is available in there. YouTube, CBS, ESPN. Couple. Now, the ESPN stuff is like their clips. It's not full. I don't think it's full shows. You might get full sports centers in there, but I'm not sure. I don't watch sports, so doesn't really matter to me. But, and I'm going to mention this, and Josh will probably want to hit me after because I just remembered. But, you know, I don't, well, you and I talked a little bit about earlier today. I don't judge people, so whatever you want to watch, you want to watch. But actually, someone has posted an adult video plugin for the Play On server.
So, well, it was only a matter of time.
Well, exactly. But there is one up there. So whatever you like, there you go.
So actually, caused me to come up with an interesting question. Are there parental controls?
There is, actually. There is parental control within Play On in the settings that you access from the desktop. Yeah, there are parental controls in there. I think by default they're turned off, but you can turn them on, and it uses the same... I went through, when I was going through the settings, I think it uses the same settings. There's two different settings for parental controls, one for television, one for movies, and it uses the same scheme that movies and television do. So you've got your TVMA, TV whatever for kids, you've got PG-13, PGR, all those ratings in there, and you can set a limit on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it does,
That's really impressive. That's a feature that a lot of people aren't thinking about, and that's really nice to have for people with kids.
Yep, absolutely. So I'd have to assume that it will work because I think you can peruse the screenshots. Like, for example, in Hulu, if you've got a kid, if there's a kid show on Hulu, I think all the screenshots show up. But when you go to play the video, if it goes above the ranking or above the rating that you have set in the parental controls, it will not play that video. So like my son, if I wanted to set it down, my son could not watch Family Guy. So... Yep.
Well, cool.
Yep, they had it all in there. It's good. So, but yeah, a lot of great content out there, and it's making its way to Media Center, whether or not anybody who developed Media Center ever thought it would. So,
well, once I get my new PC set up, and I'm going to be throwing Windows 7 RC1 on there, I think I probably will install this. Jen and I have been talking about at least cutting back our cable The only thing that I really, quote unquote, need the digital cable for right now is hockey, and that's only going to be on for a little bit more than a month. So we're thinking in June we might scale our cable back anyways, mm-hmm. and we were thinking of scaling it back to just not the digital package so that we would still get her stuff. But if all of her stuff's available on this, then that would be awesome, and we could scale yeah. back to like the $10 a month cable,
which
or
is
no cable at all.
Well, my
just go over the air.
Yeah, my intent's to go to the $10 a month cable here real soon, because I think next month my rate's supposed to go up, because I have digital cable, but I'm only paying for the standard cable. And I think it's next month my rate's supposed to go up, so I'm just going to drop it back to the $10 a month, which will give me my locals, which is really all I need. So,
right.
Yeah. Now, as far as video quality, I did watch Iron Chef America. It's not bad, actually. Right when it starts, you do get a little bit of blockiness. I mean, but let's face it, you're not going to get HD content unless that is what the provider is supplying. And someone like Food Network is not pumping out HD content online yet. So
not online, but they do have an HD TV channel.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I know they had gone HD, but they're not obviously they're not putting it online, because when I put on CNET News, the CNET News HD feed, that looks phenomenal. Much better than standard def television, for sure. And this is streaming. So obviously if the content provider is giving the quality, then you're going to get it out of this app too. So this is not destroying the video by transcoding it or something like that into Media Center. I don't know what the exact process is that PlayOn uses to transcode the video, but it doesn't seem to be affecting it, because the quality remains pretty constant. So Hulu looks great, and I have a 57-inch widescreen, and I'm watching Family Guy in full screen.
That's awesome.
And that's stretched too, because you know Family Guy's 4x3. I stretch it out to widescreen using the smart stretch, the setting 4 for the zoom mode. In Media Center, and it looks perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. So, like watching TV.
And I know I asked this last week, but I don't remember. Does this work on extenders?
Yes. Yep.
Great.
Yep. The app is now remember, the VMC Play, it's still in beta. There, I do get some flakiness from time to time. You know, so for you, you know, for someone like yourself that your wife wants to be able to see Food Network shows, I don't know if I would rely on this yet, but it's a beta. And again, I have not installed the newest build. The problems I experience might not exist anymore. For example, if I go, let's say, because it's in my extras menu, I haven't added it to the main menu. So I go over to VMC Play It and I hit enter and I go into it where I can see my main menu. If I get up and walk away for too long, say 4 or 5 minutes, and come back, I can still navigate through that, but video will not start unless I back all the way out to my Media Center main menu and then go back into VMC Play It.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why, because once I do that, everything's fine. The only other issue I've had is from time to time when my kids are watching a show, it'll get about halfway through an episode of Blue's Clues or Dora from Netflix, and the video will just stop and take you back to the menu. Again, I don't know if that's VMC Play It, or I don't know if that's Play On having problems connecting to the server or something along those lines. So there are still some small issues there, but you know, so I wouldn't rely on it, but it is nice. I can't complain about it. That's for sure. Cause it's more than what I had before. So, but it's something to look into. Yeah. If you know, once you get your build done, I'd highly recommend installing this for the 2-week trial, going and grabbing some of these plugins and adding the content to your Media Center, and just see if it works for you. You know, you never know. You might not have any problems whatsoever. So
maybe.
Very good. It'll be something to try. So,
well, you've got something you want to rant about.
Oh, wait, let me crack my neck real quick, because this is okay. And I think really, Josh, this is gonna be the first time you're hearing this full story as well. So I want you to give me your opinion when I'm done. Don't just, you know, don't let me sit on my soapbox, so to speak, and go off. But tell me what you think. So, you know.
Well, you know what I think. You're wrong.
I'm wrong.
You're always wrong.
That's right. Well, so I might as so then I might as well be married to you. I live with those people. So, so you know, recently the DVD drive in my Xbox 360 died. It would no longer read games.
Yep, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, it would from time to time, but not very much. So I decide, okay, I'm going to move the Xbox upstairs as an extender. I'm going to move the PC downstairs. I did that. Talked about it. I didn't get the Xbox that night. I did get it the next day. I brought a new Xbox arcade system home. Now, since releasing the new Xbox Experience dashboard, they have increased the size of the built-in memory in the arcade units. Everyone knows the arcade used to be called the Core. The Core didn't come with any memory, or very little internal memory. It was just enough to hold updates. So I removed my hard drive from my old system, which was built in 2007, well before the new Xbox Experience. I removed my hard drive, I put it on my new one, because it has all my game data, has everything I want to play, my save games and everything. I go up to use the Xbox as an extender that night to go to bed, and it won't start Media Center. It requires an update to run Media Center. I have to assume this update was stored on the hard drive, but no big deal. It's an update. It should fit, right? It's internal memory, and that's what the internal memory is for, is to hold updates. Oh, you don't have enough internal memory to hold this update. Okay, let me go down and grab the hard drive, bring it back up, slap it on so we can go to bed. Fall asleep to some TV. So I do that. I've now been switching my hard drive back and forth for a week.
I've got an idea. This just occurred to me.
Buy a memory card. Right?
Well, no. I'm way too cheap to try that first.
Oh, yeah. That's not what I tried first, but that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Try this first. It knows that there's an update because it's checking the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't unplug your network cable, obviously, or you won't be able to use it as an extender.
Yeah.
But maybe on your router, you can block that extender from being able to reach the internet,
see,
then it wouldn't be able to check for updates.
Yeah, and that's true. But then again, I don't know that that'll work because it's telling me an update is required in order to do this.
Well, if you had never connected this thing to the internet, how would it know that?
No, you're absolutely right. But now, see, what's happened is now the new Xbox Experience is on the internal memory. I don't know how, but it's on the internal memory and it's filled it. So basically what happens, I called Xbox, because I knew Xbox at one point when they released this, they said, okay, we're going to take care of core system owners. We're going to give you a free memory card so you can store this update, this massive 128 meg dashboard update that we're going to do. So, okay, so they do their thing and they're doing, they're going to, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, I called them up. And I told him what was going on. Well, first of all, when you call any kind of tech support for these products, these people don't know what they're talking about. I spent 1 hour trying to explain to a girl that streaming media from a PC to the Xbox dashboard is not the same as running the Xbox as a Media Center extender. And this is someone who was supposed to be in the Media Center extender department because I was transferred to her. And that took almost an hour to make her understand that, because she actually made me go up to the Xbox and go into your music library and start playing a song. Okay, so I do it. Does it play? Yeah, it plays. Well, then it's working. No, I'm on the dashboard. Well, yeah, but it's working. But no, it's not working because I'm not in Media Center. She couldn't wrap her head around that, basically. Long story.
So you can use the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go to Media Center.
Can't go to Media Center. Exactly.
That seems so weird.
Because it needs a required update for Media Center. So, okay, it requires an update. I get that. Number one, there should be a way to reset this thing back to factory defaults, which would dump the new Xbox Experience and therefore probably leave me enough room to grab this update if it didn't force the NXE on me, right?
It probably would still force it on you.
Probably, yeah, but I thought it would give it a shot. There's no way to clear it back to defaults, back to factory defaults. Then I called back the third day and got a guy on the phone, supposedly a supervisor, who I explained to him, well, I know Xbox was giving out memory cards. I need one for my core system. That's all I want. Support your hardware. If it no longer can receive updates, it's a dead box as far as I'm concerned. Because it doesn't do what I want it to do or do what it's intended to do. You know, I get you need memory to save your profile and to save game saves, but this is not game saves. This is an update. He said that was time limited. I think it ended on December 31st, so they wouldn't do that for me. When I asked him, so at this point, I'm, you know, 3 days later, I'm pretty upset. So I threw two hypothetical situations at him. Number one, he told me they would not provide a free memory card if a hard drive had been connected to the system, because it changes the console ID. So I said, okay, so you're telling me if I took my hard drive to a friend's house, he has a core system, I plug my hard drive in to play my games because I'm house-sitting for a week, I take my hard drive away, he doesn't qualify. Well, we would probably work with him. Okay, so why won't you work with me? Okay. Number two, the second time the thing I asked him was, let me ask you this. Let's say, and I said, I don't mean to disparage anyone, and I don't want to insult anyone ever. I said, but let's say, and I said, I know people who have spent a year overseas, whether that's in Iraq or Afghanistan or in another country, what have you. They've been over out of the country. So before they left, they were single, so they put their stuff in storage, maybe at their parents' house or what have you, and they've been gone for a year. They come back and now their Xbox 360 core won't work because they can't get updates. I said, are you honestly not going to supply them a memory unit? Well, we would work with them. Oh, okay, but you won't work. He's, you know, and he's trying to, well, that's not the case with you. And I said, well, I know that. I'm not claiming, you know, that's the case. I haven't been anywhere. I said, but, you know, and basically what it came down to was at the end, I finally got the guy to admit that though I was honest, when they were giving out these free memory cards, I didn't just go and get one. You know, I was honest. I didn't need one. Because I was honest and didn't get one when I didn't need one, they will now not support me now when I do. So I was rather twisted. So tomorrow I'm going to order a memory unit from Amazon. And it's not the $12 I'm going to spend plus shipping. You know, it's, I have the money. That's no big deal. It's kind of, I'm kind of wondering why they're not standing behind their hardware kind of thing. So I don't know. What do you think? I mean, did I not explain it right? Or did, I mean, do you think they should be doing something for people? Not just myself, but anybody who has this issue?
It does kind of seem like they should do something.
I just gave them $200 more.
Right, but that's not really the point. But it does seem kind of crappy that, you know, if, I mean, even if you just hadn't used your Xbox for a couple of months and now you want to.
Yeah.
And now you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It does just seem really, really crappy. I mean, you and I, we've probably been called Microsoft fanboys before for the simple fact that we have a Media Center podcast. And I have a Windows mobile phone. So I've given plenty of money to Microsoft.
Yep.
And an Xbox, you know. So,
and a Zune.
And you have a Zune. Right. So this does seem pretty crappy.
Yeah.
These memory cards aren't expensive.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, come on. I asked the guy, I said, you know, please just admit to me that you're paying 10 cents for these things and they're coming from China. Don't, you know, let's face it. And like you said the other day, and I am, oh, I'm one of those guys. Yes, I am one of those guys. Because I told the one girl that I thought, you know, she should go ahead and box up a memory unit and send it to me. And that if she wanted to, she could have Robbie Bach or someone else deliver it to me. I wouldn't have a problem with that. She didn't seem to find that amusing. I don't know if it was because of cultural differences or the fact that she didn't have any idea who Robbie Bach was, even though she works at Microsoft. But it's fair to say I was rather twisted after the third day on the phone with them. So that's my rant. I've played nice for the show, but you can, if anybody follows my wife on Twitter, you can ask her. I wasn't so nice when I was on the phone. So I just think companies should back up their equipment. I mean, if they, I think it's great that Microsoft has updated the Xbox. I really do. And yeah, I've been called a Microsoft fanboy before, and I do like their products, but like every other major conglomerate company, it seems like they don't want to back them. And this isn't me filling my memory space with save games and things that I chose to put on there. These are updates, you know. It's full of updates, things that they said this is required, you know. So that's where I have the issue. Had it been game up or had it been game saves and things, I would have deleted some. No big deal. But these are updates, so I don't know. But they got a little. Negative mark from me this week. So that's it. I quit Media Center. I quit the show. I'm done.
Right.
So. So, yeah.
And our listenership just went through the roof.
So it's one of those kind of evenings. Okay. Yep. I think every Wednesday has become one of those kind of evenings. So, but I'm done ranting. So what else do we have for our listeners this week so they don't have to listen to me complain anymore?
Okay. So now the really interesting stuff. And these last two stories kind of go together. And I'm also going to throw in a little bit of background from what happened on Twitter yesterday to kind of combine all of this together. So yesterday, and now I forget who it was, and I really apologize for that, but someone on Twitter said to me, Josh, you know, I'm really amazed that you stood up for the companies like Nivius and Lifeware and those sorts of companies, or something to that effect, basically. And so the whole debate over those custom-built systems and home-built systems sparked again. And it ended up coming back to premium HD, because I'm not sure if I talked about that last week. But that's really one of the biggest problems with the do-it-yourself media center enthusiast communities. We can't do premium HD very well, I'll say, because, you know, what we're going to talk about here does change things a little. And that's a showstopper for a lot of people. If they can't watch their premium HD, then what's the point when their $10 a month cable box DVR does? Mm-hmm. So I know you hate cable cards, but they do work most of the time, you know, sometimes not right away. But when they do the job well, and you get to watch your stuff. So we can't knock them entirely. The technology's sound, it's just hampered by bad politics. So that ended up being a really big Twitter conversation with lots and lots of people in there. And that kind of leads us to a blog post that you put up this year reviewing another piece of equipment that sort of attempts to solve this problem.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said in the article, and we're talking about the Hava Platinum. Hava's been around since, well, I think the earliest date I saw on any website I'd found on it was 2006. It's kind of interesting because you would think a box that does what this thing does would be better known in the media center community. And again, people can read the review, but I certainly don't know every piece of equipment and every tuner that's out there that can be plugged into a media center. But after doing this for long enough, I think I have a good idea of the gear that's on the market. And I had never heard of this box. But anyway, the Hava does two things. That's why this review was so hard to write, because on the one hand, the Hava does what it's intended to do really, really well. I mean, it does a great job. I had great resolution on my PC, everything. The media center part was where there were issues. So I got to kind of split that up a little bit. But what the Hava does is it takes two devices that are on the market and puts them into one box. It takes the network tuner feature of an HD home run, and it combines it with the ability to exploit the quote-unquote analog hole in HD, in encrypted HD broadcasting, that the HD PVR from Haupog will do. So it puts them both into one box. You get a network tuner that will allow you to utilize that analog hole. That's kind of unique. I don't know. I mean, do you know of any other tuners that do that on the market, that do both?
No, I don't know of anything that does that.
Yeah, and that's what kind of amazed me about this box. So Hava was nice enough to send one out to me and let me review it for a while. So I got it connected to my network. I had a couple issues. Mainly, I wanted to hook it to my laptop. I wanted to use it as a tuner for my laptop, but my laptop was wireless. And you can't do that. For some reason, even though they're on the same network, the Hava box won't recognize that they're on the same network. So when you try to install the software, it'll tell you it can't find it. So I ended up...
They do have a couple of wireless versions of their devices, though, which I assume would work for that, though.
Well, yeah, I would think so, too. Yeah, they have a wireless dongle for it and things. For this one, I believe you can get a wireless dongle. But I was kind of amazed because even though this was wired, I would think it would talk to any PC on the network, wired or
wireless. You would think.
So that's kind of what surprised me. If you want to make this box wireless, you absolutely can do that. Again, I think for this box, that is a wireless dongle. And they do sell another box, which I think is the Titanium Wi-Fi, which does come with wireless built in. So that you can have a wireless tuner sitting out there. But that was kind of a hang-up that I didn't like so much. But anyway, I decided to go ahead and add it as a tuner on my kitchen PC because I don't have a tuner there. I have a tuner in it, but I'm not going to run a cable over there. So installation was pretty easy. The Hava software that you install, which runs on the desktop, is actually pretty nice because one thing you can do, which you can't do within Media Center, is that when you install this software, you actually tell it which cable box you're hooking it to. Okay. So one thing to keep in mind with Hava is there is no such thing as plug a coax into it and you're done. Okay? You're not going to run straight cable into this box. So, yeah, you can't do that. It has to have some kind of set-top box connected to it. Again, could be an issue depending on what level of cable you want to pay for, or satellite. Well, satellite, they're all set-tops, but, you know, depending on what cable you want to pay for, it could be an issue, but I had a digital box laying here, so I called the cable company, had it reactivated because we don't use it. Again, we have it for free for now, and we just don't use it, so got it connected. Now, again, when you install this software, you actually tell it what set-top box you have by model, right down to the model number. So you run through the installation, again, pretty quick and easy. There are some Media Center options in there that you have to tell it, and then you can run the Hava software right from the desktop. What that does is it actually gives you, when it's not in full screen mode, you actually have a picture of your cable box remote control next to the screen, and which is clickable, of course. Now, a lot of people would be like, well, who cares? But if you were using this on a laptop or something along those lines, I think this is nice because something we can't do in Media Center is use video on demand. With this box, you can. If you know, again, it's limited because you're not in Media Center, but you can actually use your video on demand using the company's own software, which I thought was pretty cool, actually.
That is cool.
You know, again, I think it would be, for me anyway, it would be limited to having it connected on my laptop and I want to sit outside and watch something or what have you. But yeah, because you have that remote, that direct remote control access, you can actually go ahead and bring up the cable box, you know, the cable guide. What you're getting is really a direct feed from the cable box. So you're seeing your cable company's guide. You're seeing directly what's coming off that box. I was able to get it to pull in content, which I know is encrypted in HD. I don't have any HBO or anything turned on, but I know from connecting cable to my PC tuner that these channels were locked before. They were not in the clear, and the Hava was able to play them. So it does take advantage of that analog hole, that's for sure, which is good. The issues that I did have were within Media Center, which is where it becomes a problem here. the first one, and Josh, you and I talked about it a little bit, you actually found out, was that one, you can only have one of these per network, and they're single tuners.
You know, before we go on, I thought about that, because at first I said, you know, that's a deal killer, because no one wants just one tuner.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about a little more, and maybe I'm different from a lot of people. I know I'm different from a lot of people, but maybe my TV habits are different from most people. My general TV consumption, the vast majority of it, is network TV. And we just have a few shows that are on cable that we also record. So if I need multiple tuners for things, it's typically because I'm recording two network shows at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, if this works well, if you had two over-the-air tuners and one of these, you'd probably still almost never have a recording conflict.
Yeah.
Because, like, I looked through my schedule, and I would never have a recording conflict.
Okay. Yeah, and then,
and I record. I have 25 series in my recording schedule.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have a conflict.
Okay. And yeah, and the other thing I was thinking about that was, you know, having one of these on your network doesn't mean you can't have a dual internal tuner of some sort that maybe right. just picks up your standard def stuff. Like, I mean, basically what you're saying.
Yeah, or over the air.
Yeah, or over right. the air. Exactly. So, absolutely. I mean, this could certainly, and that's what I say, you know, the end of the day on this review was that this would make a great second or third tuner in your setup. Really. Now, again, there were two Media Center issues. The first was the TV signal. When I first connected this, for some reason, I was getting an error where in the Hava software, it would play perfectly. There were no problems whatsoever. As soon as I went into Media Center, the video would play for about 15 seconds, and then I would get the pop-up message saying there was no signal, no video signal. Yet the audio would continue to play. For whatever reason, this continued for about 3 days, and I was getting really frustrated. And then all of a sudden, on the fourth day of testing, it just worked. And it never did that again for a month. I cannot figure it out to this day.
Yeah, that is weird.
That one's really weird, but I did want to mention it, that it did happen. The other problem, which I did not get resolved, and at first I really thought this was a case of, you know, this was happening because I was using Windows 7 to test, which of course they don't have drivers built for Windows 7 yet. It's not prepped yet. And the Windows 7 were, you know, release candidates hitting what, next week or this week and next week. So, you know, they're not expected to have any yet. So I thought really this was a Windows 7 issue, and I was just going to have to say, you know what, I'll have to wire in my laptop, which was running Vista, just to get around this. Then I went to the forums on the website and found people running Vista were having the same problem. And that is that for some reason, when within Media Center, the IR signal to your set-top box gets transmitted at least 3 times. So like I put in the article, if I want to go to channel 10, instead of just sending channel, you know, instead of just sending the signal 1-0, this thing will send 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. Now, I kind of explained it poorly in the report and in the article, and I apologize for that. A lot of times it changed the channel properly. The problem is, depending on how fast the cable box changed channels after receiving that IR signal, it might only pick up 1, and then it might change to channel 1 and then get 0-1-0. So then you get to channel 10, and then it would get 1-0 again. So you get to channel 10 like you wanted. Other times it might pick up 101, so it takes you to channel 101, and then the 0, so it would try to change channels. There's no channel 0, it couldn't, and then go to channel 10, so you would get to 10. So really, there's an IR issue here. Now, apparently, there's a fix for it, and if you talk to Hava customer support, they can take care of it. I was never able to get that fix going. I was in communication with one of the people there, and this was more of a PR person. I didn't have a lot of time to get on with customer support, but I was told that yes, customer support can get you through this to make it work. So again, there are some Media Center hangups. Both of them can be worked on, can be fixed. That's why I said for me, after my testing for 1 month, I wouldn't use this as a primary tuner unless I was really sure I could work through all the kinks that happen in Media Center. But to add it as a way to, number one, defeat the protection on the HD content in Media Center and get at least one tuner where you can record high definition programming, in order to have a network tuner so you can use it on multiple PCs depending on whether or not it's in use. And the other thing I got to mention, which I'll have to defer to you, Josh, is that you can stream live TV to mobile devices, Windows mobile devices, and some other small mobile devices. But I don't know how well that worked for you, really, too much. You said it seemed to be all right. So,
yeah, we only tried it once, and yeah, not for very long. But it did work pretty well.
Okay.
It wasn't too bad. My mobile connection a lot of times isn't super fast, so it was a little slow, but the UI is actually pretty cool because it basically, like, it gives you the whole guide and everything and allows you to change the channels. It's not just like streaming recorded things and stuff, you get, you know, your guide and it changes channels and you can just watch live TV right on your mobile phone, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I remember you had said that it worked pretty well. But again, that, you know, a lot of that's going to come down to connection, a lot like you said, you know.
Right.
It's not going to be a case where it's always going to be the software and things. It's going to rely a lot on how good your connection is. So depending on where you are. But I thought that was a great feature too, because even with, you know, with something like Orb, you got to have a very specific tuner to use Orb and stream live TV. WebGuide we know works, but it's broken.
I don't think you need a specific tuner.
Oh, yes. With Orb? Yeah. My tuner is not compatible, or was not. The last I looked, my tuner was not compatible with Orb. There was a limited list, and then it's, Orb said, I think on their website at one point, had said, you know, any MPEG-2 compatible tuner, which should be my tuner, which should be most tuners out there, I would think, but I could not get live TV to stream through Orb with mine, so.
I never had any problems with it, but I had pretty standard tuners.
Did you? Okay. Yeah, I wish it would have worked, believe me. But for me, it recorded, and that's enough when I'm out somewhere. So, but anyway, that's my Hava review. I can certainly... would I buy one? If I was more concerned with... You know, if I was more concerned right now with getting that HD content from cable... you know, if I wanted to pay for digital cable, which, as I said earlier, I'm kind of probably be stepping down instead of up. But if I wanted to pay for digital cable and get that HD content, yeah, absolutely. Because it's 100% worth it. That, or if I traveled and wanted mobile access to my, to my home television, then yeah. I think those are the two things it really does well. And even with its hang-ups, they can be worked out. So they're not anything that should stop anyone from getting one of these. And plus, the two things it does together, again, network tuner and that analog hole workaround, these are a lot cheaper than a like an HD Home Run or an HD PVR would be. I mean, you're getting these for under $150. I know on eBay we found some for, what, $60, $70?
Yeah, I think they were right around there. You can't beat $60 or $70 for a way to theoretically get your HD premium content on your media center. Again, it's only one tuner, but there are ways around that.
Yeah, and well,
or there are ways of dealing with that at least.
Yeah, and an HD PVR is only one tuner, and granted, you can add more, but they're also $200 to $250 a piece. So,
well, and there's still no official way to use an HD PVR in Windows Media Center.
You're absolutely right. So, but again, little hang-ups, but they can be worked around, and I think I could definitely recommend this to someone who wants to get those features into their media center. So.
Yeah, as long as you're comfortable with doing a little bit of work to get it all working correctly and to iron the little bit of hassles out of it, this sounds like a really great way to get premium HD content.
Yep, absolutely. I just don't have concern for that yet. But speaking of which, you know, you talked about the conversation on Twitter. Mr. Wizard Ben Drawbaugh posted another article on Engadget HD today regarding this. And Josh, I'm going to let you run with this a little bit. I don't know. Have you read the thread over at the Green Button?
I read about half of it, but I didn't get to finish all of it. The gist of this is basically from the moment that cable card support was announced and how it would work in Media Center, the enthusiast community started looking for ways to break it. And just a quick recap of how this works. The only way you can use cable card is to buy a Media Center PC with cable card tuners built into it. Those cable card PCs have a special set of data built into the BIOS of the computer, of the motherboard. And then the cable card tuners have a hardware key on them also. And all of that needs to be registered with the computer to make it all work together.
And even then, it might not work.
Well, you can make it work.
From what I understand, there are problems sometimes.
Yes, there are problems, but eventually you get a good tuner, and eventually you get a good cable card. I've heard that most of the problems are with bad cable cards and not with these tuners of the systems. But anyway, so for... You know, 2 or 3 years now, people have been trying to find ways to use these cable card tuners on PCs that didn't come with them. And it looks like on the Green Button, And we'll link to this post. There's a lot of really technical information here, and I don't have it all memorized. But there's a certain set. I believe it's Asus motherboards, Intel chipset motherboards, that have the table full of data for this, but it's not. I said that wrong. They have the data to store the cable card information, or they have the table to store that data, but it's not filled out. So what they've said they can do is hack that to fill that out, and then you just need a cable card tuner and that product ID. So if you were to buy a cable card tuner, like used from someone, you just ask that person to make sure they give you the product ID, and that should work. If it doesn't work, and this is where things really start to get dicey, it's rumored that, and it makes a lot of sense, that the hardware manufacturers have a generic general product ID that works with all cable card tuners. Because when you buy one of these boxes, like say from Dell or HP, you don't have to type any of this in. The only time you have to type this stuff in is if you reformat your hard drive. So, and the thought is that HP doesn't have a paid staffer sitting there on the line, you know, oh, it's a cable card PC, send it down to Joe so that he can type in this 20-character product ID or whatever it is in a media center. They're probably not doing that. That'd be nuts. So the theory is that there is this generic product ID, and that if someone has one of these cable card PCs and hasn't reformatted their box, it's been found where that product ID is stored in the registry. So they could look it up and make it available to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't finish the post, but it looked like they were intentionally not trying to put that code out there, probably so that Microsoft and Cable Labs and ATI wouldn't somehow make it so that that code wouldn't work anymore. Now, that's probably a little bit of an overreaction, because if they did that, then I think HP and Dell and Sony and all of these companies that sell these machines would be pretty ticked off that they would have to do something to make their machines work again.
Yeah.
But that's the worry. Now, what really got people in an uproar, I guess, and this is where I'll turn it over to you, is in Ben's post, he provided what I believe is that generic product ID.
Yeah. Yep, it's right there. And the green button has a little inflamed right now. At least the people who were concerned with this thread. You know, I don't know a whole lot about this and how Cable Card works, because anyone who listens knows I hate Cable Labs and I hate Cable Card. I think it's ridiculous that they're restricting it like this. The content is still DRM'd to the point where, again, on Windows 7 machines, if you want to share recorded TV, if you record it using Cable Card and it's encrypted, you're not going to share it with other PCs on your own network. So forget Cable Card, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, you kind of have to have it if you want that high-end content, but there are other ways coming to do that, and we don't need to worry about it. So, you know, if you can wait, I say wait. Don't go out and buy one of these machines. But yeah, he threw that generic product ID up there, and the people at the green button were a little incensed over that because, like you said, they didn't want him getting out. I don't know. What do you think? Because on the one hand, I can understand. on the other hand, you know, he's reporting, and I don't think Ben's ever been one to hold back information from people, you know?
Absolutely not.
So it seems to me he's not worried about making anybody angry. So,
well, I think the thing is, if you're going to buy a used cable card tuner, the person who's selling it to you ought to give you that product ID. Otherwise, it's worthless. I think that if you were to go and just buy a cable car tuner from an online store. On Twitter, Ben said, and I think he said the name of the store was Canon PC.
Yeah.
And you could just buy cable car tuners from this place. So you can obviously buy them and install them in computers that already have cable car tuners. So when you buy them from a store like that, they must tell you the product ID. So when you're buying one from someone used, then they ought to frickin' tell you what the product ID is. And as long as they do, then you don't need to resort to doing this semi-shady possible generic product ID.
Well, now, you know, this generic product ID, though, this is factory set. If you do reinstall your system, there's a product ID, there's a different individual product ID included on your computer because you're supposed to be buying these OEMs, just like you would find the product key for Windows.
Right.
On the sticker on the outside, you know, probably on the bottom of the case or on the back of the case, you're going to find an individual product ID as well. So,
right.
So yeah, it's really the generic ones. And people are worried that, like you said, they're going to want to cut them off and shut down access to these product IDs. I don't see how they can do that. They would be killing how many machines? You know,
right? Yeah, I really don't see them doing this. If it's even possible, you know, yeah. I'm not sure that it would be.
You know, so yeah, I mean, you can't. I don't see that HP or anybody could get away with this. People waking up in the morning and all of a sudden their computers, you know, that they're using for Media Center are no longer working. Something, you know, I think they'd have a lot of incensed customers.
Yeah. So, because it would affect all of the people who just bought one and it just worked and they never did anything with it.
Yeah. And really, when you look at those people, you're not talking about, you might not be talking about enthusiasts who are willing to go through or who want to go through a reinstallation. You might be talking about somebody who just said, oh, this would be cool, and bought their machine from Dell. And, you know, it just worked. Like you said, it just worked for them, and they didn't have to do anything else. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, who knows, maybe it'll end up being a good thing, and then enough people will be using it, and Microsoft or Cable Labs or whoever will cut these off and really make a lot of people angry, and it'll be some kind of some kind of PR nightmare, and they'll just have to unlock it. What's the chance of that happening?
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, but, I know, but
but really, if this works, and it sounds like it does, you know, you can just buy one of these specific motherboards.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy. I checked eBay. It looks like you can buy new cable card tuners for between $100 and $150.
Wow!
So that's less than an HD PVR.
Yep.
It's more than these Havas, but it works better.
Yeah, well, if it works. Now, what I wonder is how long will it work? I mean, once you have this set up, does it just work? Or is it one of those things where, because this is a hack, it makes the system unstable?
Well, I guess that's possible.
And again, I haven't read the thread, so I don't know. You know, I haven't gone through this whole thread, and like you said, there's a lot of technical information there. But I was just curious if that would make it, you know, a problem, I guess.
But here's the other thing that I thought about earlier is, let's say you spend $150 for one of these cable car tuners on eBay, or you spend $150 for a Hava, or however you pronounce it. You get the same thing basically out of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the real difference here in cost is with the Hava, you need a set-top box. Most cable companies are charging $10 or $15 a month to rent those set-top boxes.
Yep.
To rent a cable card is like $1.50. Like I'm pretty sure it's government mandated that it has to be, you know, within a couple of bucks.
Yeah, I'm almost positive you're right about that. Mm-hmm.
So it's cheaper this way and theoretically more reliable and a better solution than what the Hava is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think so. I don't know. And you know, I commented on Ben's post, and this was before I had seen the comments over at the Green Button. But you know, I had commented that, and I think you and I have talked about this on the show before, that if a company, whether it's a company or an organization or a group of companies, whatever you want to call it, when they come out with some type of system to try and lock people out, people will get in. The community has been probably working together on this, what, since Cable Card came out, like, again, like you said earlier, and I don't see them stopping until it works, and that's it. It's been done with, you know, it was done with Blu-ray. When Blu-ray came out, Blu-ray was supposed to be unbreakable. You know, the encryption on a Blu-ray disc was supposed to be unbreakable. It was broken before the first disc hit the shelf at Walmart. You know, and it's the same with this. Now, this took a little longer, but and more than likely because it involves codes and hardware and more expensive equipment. But the fact is, this was always going to be broken, I think. You know, I just think it was always going to be broken. So, I don't know if there's really any way to stop people from doing that.
No, in the end, people are going to find a way. You know what the most frustrating thing about all of this is?
That they had
just bought a motherboard. I bought a motherboard on Friday.
Send it back.
Yeah, but I'm going to get my processor tomorrow.
But send it back. But now you see, now what is it? You're going to rush?
This motherboard that I bought is awesome.
But if you run, well, it could vary. I'm not saying it's not awesome. I don't know what, you know, I'm waiting for your write-up to see what you got. But I mean, you know, if you sent it back and waited a few extra days, you know, I'd be looking at Cable Card. I'm just saying.
You know, I'm kind of thinking about it. But see, the thing is, I don't have an HDTV.
But you will.
I will eventually. Yeah.
You will.
You know what I really want to do? There's a coworker of mine that he's been a hater. He's not really a hater, but I call him a hater all the time. And and it's basically for this reason. You know, he doesn't really like the Media Center environment because he can't get premium HD mm-hmm. without buying, you know, a PC that's at least $1,000. And then, of course, there's the fact that it's a PC which is inherently going to be less stable than just a box sitting on... Yeah. On your TV. Mm-hmm. But he's more than capable of dealing with that. So he's got kind of an old computer. So I'm going to see if I can talk him into doing this. Because he would benefit from it more anyways.
Very good.
I haven't looked into what these motherboards are, but I'm sure all of these motherboards are less than $100. So,
actually, there's one here I've just opened up. It was $180. On the Green Button.
Geez.
Yeah. Now there may be others. I just did this one real quick just to see, you know, what this, but this is an MSI Media Live Diva 5.1 motherboard.
Oh yeah. Those boards are expensive. They're awesome, okay. But those are expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, but yeah, I mean, this is definitely one of the higher priced ones. So yeah, but I, you know, again, if people can crack it, I say go for it. And I certainly don't fault Ben for putting it up there. I don't think he was wrong to do so. You know, on one hand, yeah, it could hurt, you know, they could end up finding a way to cut this off so that it didn't affect people or what have you, maybe just wouldn't work on reinstalls or something like that. But on the other hand, good. Let these companies know that their stuff is crackable, and that's all there is to it. You know.
Yep.
Sometimes I think it's good to let them know. Hey, you're not as smart as you think, buddy. So we'll see what happens out of it, though. A lot of them on the Green Button want to take bets on how long the post will be up there, since Engadget is owned by AOL, which is owned by Time Warner. You know,
well, but there's a difference between Time Warner and Time Warner Cable.
Oh, yeah, but it's still all one giant parent company, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I think they were actually just talking about that the other day on the Engadget Classic podcast. So I don't think this is going to get taken down.
It's still there right now. I don't think it will either.
That doesn't happen on Engadget.
No, and then again, anybody who listens to the podcast or anything knows that, I don't think Ben's ever been one to hold back.
No, not so, at all.
I think they probably by now know how he is, and they're not gonna mess with him. So I think he's got other outlets should he need them. So
yep.
But that's about it for tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit longer than I thought we were going to go, but that's all right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I enjoy it. So I think we covered some good stuff this evening as well. So there's a lot of good things out there, and we found them all this week, I believe. So now we're waiting on you. So now we need to wait. So hopefully next week we're going to talk about your new build, though. That's going
to
be
unless you convince me to go buy one of these other motherboards.
I just think you should do it because I think it would make a great write up and a great topic for the show. We could do a whole show on how you got this to work.
Yeah, but then I also have to buy a $150 cable card tuner.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen. The wife is not going to go for that.
Even if she could watch Food Network HD
on our standard def TV.
But that, well, yeah, okay. Man, see, if you had that high def TV, you could just tell her, look, we just got to try and hook it up, and I can send the motherboard back again.
And we could be without a Media Center PC again.
But at least you have that backup DVR, you know. That's the.
Oh, well, yeah.
I sometimes do wish I had that because I've had to wait weeks to do it. I'm waiting to see how long it's going to take me to get the release candidate in next week because. If it's anything like before, it'll probably take me 2 weeks just to get it installed because that's how long it'll take to kick everyone off my television. So when you have that backup, that can be nice. So
that's true.
So,
well, a couple of quick house cleaning things here. Hopefully tonight's, I say tonight, but I don't know when you're listening. Today's episode sounded better. We did a little bit different method for recording the show tonight, so hopefully it sounds really, really good tonight.
Yeah.
The other thing is an apology to the people who attempted to listen live, and I even kind of went out of my way to advertise that we were going to be broadcasting live on Ustream tonight. That failed miserably. The combination of trying to use Ustream with the different way that we were recording tonight didn't work out so well. We're pretty sure we can figure it out for next week. We will find a solution for next week. So please come join the live chats. They are lots of fun.
Yeah, we do. We do have a lot of fun. I was kind of disappointed we couldn't get that going on this week. So it's really too bad, but I kind of miss it. I like knowing those people are there listening live. So yeah, like Josh said, join the live show. Even if you only do it every other week or once a month, join the live show because, it's a lot of fun. So,
and that live show is typically recorded Wednesday nights around 7:30 PM Eastern. It's always starts after 7:30 PM. It's typically more like 7:45. So even if you can't be there until 8, you might not miss anything.
Yep,
so
you might not miss
so
much.
Don't let that be an excuse. Just come
Absolutely.
Check it out.
Yep. And as always, visit thedigitalmediazone.com. Come and visit us. And again, anybody out there that wants to join us in writing, or if you've got a podcast you want to produce, please do. But yeah, jump over to the new site. I think you'll enjoy it. We're really opening it up and starting to publish some more diversified stuff. So more than just what this show covers. In fact, we didn't really talk about even a third of the news that we put on the site this week. So
nope.
This is a Media Center show and that's it. So all the other good content is over at thedigitalmediazone.com. DMZ, represent. And now everybody just said, holy cow, that guy is the biggest nerd in the world.
Everyone and just went into iTunes, clicked unsubscribe.
I think I'm going to edit that out of the show. But
no, you can't.
Oh, yes, I can. No, I wouldn't do that. But find us on Twitter. I think most people know by now, but I'm MolsonFL on Twitter.
And I am Josh Pollard on Twitter.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us for yet another week, and we will be back to speak at you next week. Thanks.
At the end of the day, I know just what you're thinking. You want time to play. to turn your lights down. You just want some time with your 70-inch TV.